Business Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Brick streets in Bloomington could get replaced in the future instead of getting an asphalt overlay. And one street in particular could be the pilot project. The Bloomington City Council also purchased some downtown property and amended the bike plan. And before we talk about bikes, in the full interest of disclosure, I'm a board member with the bicycle advocacy group Bike Blono, which has been working on the project we'll discuss in just a few moments. As on most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings, we're joined by Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Terry, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Why is there this passion, and that's what I saw at last night's meeting, for brick streets?
Well, I think it for many reasons. Actually, I used to live on a brick street on Evans and Empire, and it certainly is part of the old character of Bloomington. It's part of, we now only have about 3.5 miles of brick streets left, and I think it's really a shame that we allowed that to happen. It's part of what makes us distinctive. Obviously, our downtown, our historic core, and I strongly support the maintaining our brick streets for all those reasons. And if you look at the cost over the entire life of it, they last much longer. They may cost 3 times as much to fix, but they last 3 times as long. And also that has an effect upon property values. Generally speaking, houses that are on brick streets tend to have higher valuations than similarly situated houses on asphalt streets.
So the numbers may make sense.
The numbers might make sense. And frankly, but even if there was an added increment, I would still be supportive of that, because once you pave over them, it's really hard to go back. And I think we've lost way too much of the historic character of our city, already.
We've heard keynote speakers at recent Economic Development Council events and national thinkers who have been brought in by the McLean County Regional Planning Commission to talk about placemaking, creating a unique place people want to live, and then the economic development will follow. Once you get the people to
Absolutely.
Live in your community, you get the entrepreneurs who will then start the businesses. Are brick streets part of that placemaking,
Absolutely.
Do you think?
Absolutely, it's part of that placemaking. And it's also consistent with our comprehensive plan, which prioritizes maintaining the historic character of our older neighborhoods, as well as downtown Bloomington. Absolutely. I think that's the case. And so that's why, as I say, I very, very strongly support this.
This came about because of Monroe Street between Clinton and Robinson. Is it fair to call this street a pilot project then?
I think you could. I mean, pilot project can be used in a lot of ways. I certainly wouldn't disagree with that characterization. We're going to start with this. And then there is a plan that had developed and been developed by staff and others in 2009. But for some reason, it was never brought to the city council for a vote. I think it's dated in many ways. So as we move forward, we will probably need to figure out, okay, what is our policy going forward? And I would hope that it would be that we protect the last 3.5 miles of brick streets that we currently have.
What's going to happen to Monroe Street then, do you think?
Well, I think
there is a process, and it could or could not actually get repaved. I mean, it's still up in the air as to whether that gets repaved back in bricks.
I think it's pretty clear that the council was in favor of it, and I think the changes for the new two council members that are going to be seated would very much likely support that as well. We might have unanimous or near unanimous support for moving ahead with brick streets.
It'll take another vote, though.
It will take another vote, but I'm confident about of this. I think you had many, many, many strong supporters last night, a majority of the council, maybe even a supermajority of the council last night.
A majority of the audience left after that issue had been
resolved. That's true. Yeah, that was
it. So a lot of people were there for brick streets.
Right.
What kind of challenges are there when it comes to restoring and maintaining these streets? I mean, first of all, there's
getting a contractor to begin with.
There's the craftsmanship as well.
And the craftsmanship, yes. Now, we've been in touch with the people in Springfield. In fact, I called the mayor of Springfield. I met him half a year ago or so at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and we chatted about what he did. There are lots of substitutes. There apparently also is a place that has over 1 million old bricks in Galesburg. There are a lot of ways. It just means it's going to be somewhat more challenging than just paving over an existing street.
I assume the bricks on Monroe Street would be reused.
I think that's the case. It may be, again, I'm not an engineer, it may be that some of them have to be replaced.
What happened to the bricks that are missing? The bricks that were taken away and then for various repairs.
That's a good question. That's long before I was mayor. I have no idea. I wish they hadn't have done that, frankly, crappy patchwork that they did on that
right,
street.
Right, the cement, and that really sort of leads to more degradation of the brick street.
Absolutely, and that's why we, obviously we you know, this is, we can't keep looking backwards. We've got to move forward.
So does the city need to communicate to Public Works? Does the city council need to communicate to Public Works? Sort of a policy shift here is when you dig up a brick street, you repair it with bricks.
Absolutely. I think.
Has that been communicated?
I think that was communicated last night, but we will make it even more clear, you know, moving forward.
Do you think the city should examine whether they should remove asphalt and restore some brick streets around
Absolutely.
Town, maybe in downtown?
Absolutely. When I, many years ago, when dinosaurs were on the earth, and I lived in Pittsburgh when I was a professor at Duquesne University's Policy Center, they changed our street back. And there was, you know, the entire neighborhood wanted.
Were they able to get the asphalt off without damaging the bricks, or did they just tear it all out and redo it?
No, they were able to get the asphalt out without major damage to the bricks. And so it still didn't look quite the way that it did. And again, this is technology. This would have been 1989 or so. So this is going back a ways. I don't know what the situation is now. But there are many places that I wish we would go back to brick streets. But that's not something that the council talked about last night. But that may very well be something that we pursue. Again, some of that will depend on the cost.
What's going on with the communication between the Historic Preservation Commission and the Public Works Department? Here's some of what Historic Preservation Commission member Leah Klein had to say last night.
The case of East Monroe is an example of what can happen. One, when we sideline good research and planning in favor of short-term cost savings. And two, when this body, such as the HPC, created to advise the city on matters such as these, are neutered. As a voter and commission member, I am troubled that the tail seems to be wagging the dog in city government, that elected staff members are autonomously acting with respect to the treatment of our collective historical property.
That's Historic Preservation Commission member Leah Klein. Why isn't Public Works talking with the Historic Preservation Commission?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to. I totally agree with Leah on this situation. And absolutely, there are times, you know, when elected officials need to choke up on, you know, essentially civil servants, unelected bureaucrats who are administering policy. They should be administering policy, not making policy. So I don't know why this didn't happen. I can be reasonably sure that it will never happen again.
There was a discussion last night, there was a phrase used that there was no mechanism for Public Works to talk with the Historic Preservation Commission. I'm not sure I understand that.
I'm not sure I understand that either. I think you can pick up the phone or you go to their meeting if you know you're dealing with something that's historic, or email. I mean, it's not hard to communicate with somebody. Now, so we may, you know, maybe what they mean is, you know, there needs to be a form where you check boxes, right? And maybe one of those boxes needs to be historic preservation. But I think we will probably rewrite the ordinance dealing with the charge of the Historic Preservation Commission to try to make that as clear as possible, because it's not going to just be brick streets. It may be the type of sidewalk, or that may be carriageways, lighting, all kinds of issues.
Well, you bring up carriageways. This seems to be another, that seems to be another, maybe misstep is too strong of a word, that Public Works was tearing those out. And again, there was no sort of communication there.
There was no communication there. And I think we've remedied that, but...
Well, how is that different than brick streets?
Good question. This is something that is kind of an internal management decision and discussions that we have already been having with the council and the city manager and some of the department heads.
Some of this sort of folds into the comprehensive plan.
Absolutely.
Is staff in a different place with the comprehensive plan than elected officials? And do elected officials need to go back to staff and say, read the comprehensive plan and follow the comprehensive plan? Make sure all the department heads are sort of working under the umbrella of the comprehensive plan.
Absolutely. And in valuing infill development is absolutely critical. That's what our comprehensive plan suggests. Any new development, especially in sprawl, has to pay for itself. It's another example of this is the oversizing of the pipes out to the Grove subdivision. Nobody who is out in the Grove subdivision right now who is a resident would benefit from that $300,000 expenditure. It is because at some point in the future, there might be an annexation of 13,000 acres north of the Grove that are not in the city.
Sure.
And so I think that that is also that was a very poor decision, because it's not just that. Obviously, I've always been anti-sprawl and I've campaigned on that. but it's something that we need to take that $300,000 and put it into infrastructure that benefits our current residents, not some that may never exist whether in 20 or 30 years.
2 weeks ago, Alderman Amelia Burgess requested that there would be another work session or a meeting to sort of discuss the comprehensive plan and sprawl and east side versus infill development. Is that still going to happen at some point?
Absolutely, especially with the new council being seated. And you know, if you change one person, a group of nine, you know, the dynamic will change. Now that we're changing two people, I think there will be a very different dynamic on the council, and a positive one, I believe.
In the studio for Sound Ideas is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. I'm Mike McCurdy, and I need to disclose any possible conflict of interest here. I'll remind listeners I'm on the board of the bicycle advocacy group, Bike Blono. The city amended its bicycle master plan last night to include Washington Street. Why?
Essentially, Washington Street needs to be fixed, and this is the time to do that. The Bike Blono had some very good points as to why we should have bike lanes on Washington Street as a main, you know, artery between East and West Bloomington. And so, and I think Alderwoman Amelia Burgess noted that it actually touches, this whole plan touches five wards. And so as we are trying to move toward complete streets and having a sustainable city, and this is the type of city of the future. And this will certainly help us economically as well as in terms of transportation. If you get people off the roads in either mass transit or walking or biking, your streets will also last longer.
The goal is to have bike lanes on Washington from Lee on the west side to Mercer on the east, and then there's some other adjacent bike lanes as well that would include all five of those wards you spoke about. There's a demonstration project in the meantime on a portion of Washington, basically from Kreitzer to Mercer. What do you think could be learned from these pop-up bike lanes?
Well, I think it's probably learning from the standpoint of the decision makers, but also learning from the standpoint of motorists and bicyclists who might use them, and pedestrians. So, I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Does this also fold into economic development, placemaking, creating a place people want to move to and live to? Maybe when they graduate, they don't move away?
Absolutely. And that's, at this point, whether if we have a vibrant downtown and older neighborhoods and we have a multimodal city, we will see, I think, more people staying in Bloomington, and perhaps then we'll have more, try to have more jobs in Bloomington, more economic opportunities, so that we can obviously move Bloomington forward, which is critical.
Let's move from bikes to cars, and specifically car parking in downtown. The council had a heavy agenda last night, so this went by rather quickly. The city is purchasing some parking lots owned by Frontier Communication. What's going on? These parking lots are near the BCPA.
Yes, this has been something I advocated the first time I ran for mayor unsuccessfully in 2009 and in 2013, and I've been talking about it. The Frontier lots are critical, and they're critical to economic development and having, frankly, from the standpoint of the city, control over property. We're finding that, obviously, with the front and center building, if you don't have control of the property, there are limitations as to how you can operate. And so these are critical, not just for the BCPA and upper 500-600 block of Main Street parking. But for the long term, we may very well be able to encourage some light retail, reshape that space, make it a public space, maybe with public parking, make it also a more desirable location. And that should help the BCPA. It should help the downtown businesses, and possibly then the spillover effects for the neighborhood surrounding that. If it's an attractive place, people on Mulberry and Douglas Street and other places may very well be willing to invest more into their homes. And again, having those spillover benefits to our historic core is really important.
So parking in the short term, but economic development and some potential. You're buying potential in the future is what you're doing with these lots.
Buying potential and again, control over them. In the short term, we get parking. I would hope that short term is maybe only about a year or so before we got to move on to Electrolux. There's so many things we got to move on. And then maybe we send out a request for proposals or request for qualifications to private investors to say, hey, what might you want to do with this? We need some parking. We need a parking garage. But what would you put on the first floor? Or how would you maybe redesign this space? So it's really a critical piece. And I wish we had been able to acquire it long ago. This has been in the works even during the time when Mayor Stockton was in office.
Mayor Terry Renner is sworn in for a second term next Monday. Terry, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Mike. Take care.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Coos. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.